Okay, let's bring in Arnon Mishkin, director of the Fox News Decision Desk. Arnon, we're getting a lot of incoming here, and we need you to answer some questions. Arizona, are you 100% sure of that call and when you made it, and why did you make it?
Absolutely. We made it after basically a half hour of debating, is it time yet? Because it's been clear for a while that the former vice president is in the lead in Arizona and was most likely to win the state. It has been in the category that we call knowable but not callable for about an hour. We finally called it. Right now, yes, there are some outstanding votes in Arizona. Most of them are coming from Maricopa, where Biden is currently in a very strong position. And many of them are mail-in votes, where we know from our Fox News voter analysis, Biden has an advantage. We don't know exactly how many mail-in votes there are, but what I think we've heard from the White House is that they are expecting to get, that they need just to get 61% of the outstanding vote, and they'll, and there are 870,000 outstanding votes, and they'll be getting that. That's not true. The reality is that they're likely to get only about 44% of the outstanding votes that are there. We're right now sitting on a race that is Biden at 53%, Trump at 46%. I'm sorry, the president is not going to be able to take over and win enough votes to eliminate that 7-point lead that the former vice president has.
Yeah, they have said that they believe that he will get 65% of the outstanding votes, which they claim are at 1 million to 1.1 million. You're saying that the universe of votes that's still out there is much lower than that?
We think the universe of votes is outstanding is lower than that, and we believe that, I'm sorry, he's not getting anywhere near 65% of that. And that's why we made this call. I mean, this is a call that's sitting in our statistical models at sort of at a t-stat of 4 or more in all the different ways we...
Speaking English, what does that mean?
That means we're 4 standard deviations from being wrong. And I'm sorry, we're not wrong in this particular case.
Yes. David Domke, first things Friday. Oh, not to cast a pall over it, but Friday the 13th of November, 2020.
Can we just play that clip on loop? Can we just play that clip like over and over and over again? Because that's the moment, in my view, when the world turned. That is the moment in the Trump presidency when it began to be over and when it began to, we began to see a new day. That is Fox News on election night. Fox News on election night, and that is the anchors. And then there's Arnon Mishkin, who is the head of the data desk, the election desk for Fox, which is a world-class digital data organization. Lots of bad things about Fox in this world, but they are straight up solid on their election calls and have been for several elections. And they had called, because the election desk, Arizona into the Vice President Joe Biden and Kamala Harris column at 8:20 p.m. Pacific time, 11:20 p.m. Eastern time. And that call, which was not matched by the other networks or by the Associated Press until a couple hours later, angered the White House to no end. And the White House immediately got on the phone, called Fox, including all the way up the chain to Rupert Murdoch, and said, you need to retract that call. You are wrong. And as a result of that response, there was this back and forth between the White House and Fox that led to Brett Baier coming on the air and asking Arnon Mishkin, which we just saw right there, are you sure? Are you absolutely sure? And Mishkin, with so many things I want to unpack from his answer, said, we are absolutely sure. Oh, it was a glorious moment.
It is interesting that he kept apologizing for it, though. I'm sorry.
He did. He's like, I'm really sorry, but this is what it is. This is what it is. Why I want to point to it. Point one. There's probably 5 points. Why I want to point to it is because that particular night, election night, we were doing a Zoom call with people from Common Power, just being together in community through the evening. And there was this palpable fear and anxiety among folks after Florida so clearly swung to Donald Trump, which again, which as in 2016 was counter to what the polls had said. There was this fear that that was gonna, we were gonna have the same. And you had all these early votes not getting counted as much in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. And so they, the, you know, the Republicans were way, Trump was way out in front. And we knew that those other votes were coming in, the early votes were gonna get counted, but still you could see the board and the numbers weren't good. And there was this sense of like, oh my gosh, here we go again. And this cannot be, this cannot be. And North Carolina was holding out and was strong for Biden. Ohio was, and then they started to get close. And then eventually Trump was getting ahead. And so there just was this growing fear, even though we knew it still was probably okay in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, but the numbers weren't there yet. And then Arizona came in with all of its early vote, because they counted early. They counted the early vote first. And Trump and Biden was good far ahead, and Arizona called it for Biden. And I remember being on the Zoom call saying, Fox just called Arizona for Joe Biden. And everybody just erupted. And there was this sense, there was this real sense of like, okay, okay, somebody with the flag is standing strong and tall on that hill during this battle. And we're gonna gather ourselves and we're gonna be okay. And it was this moment at which the irony of it being Fox was immediate to everybody in the group, and it was glorious.
Yeah, well, it was pretty remarkable, and you know, Brett Baer is a pretty credible anchor. So when he says when he says that, and he pushes for answers, even when he says speak in English. It's they're trying to be fair, but bending over backwards to be fair to the White House too.
Yes, it was. I mean, Baer is. I do think Baer is pretty even-handed. Point two about why this is important. So Armon Mishkin comes on. He's the head of the data desk, the election desk for Fox, and he's asked, "Are you sure?" And he doesn't. There's no quibble. There's no, we think we're pretty good here. It was, we're absolutely sure. And oh my God, all the way to those last words, four deviations from being wrong. We are not wrong. Oh, baby. And in the middle of it, he says, that is not true, what the White House is saying. Have we ever heard those words on Fox News? That is not true.
I don't know. This just gets me thinking about what the world's going to look like post Trump presidency, and whether it's a, you know, whether he's a Fox commentator or it's Trump TV paired with QAnon. We won't hear those words if it's Trump TV and QAnon or Newsmax, probably.
Look, Fox is horrible. They are generally horrible. But again, when it comes to straight news reporting, Brett Baer and Chris Wallace, and before that, Shepard Smith, they're good. They're good. And that night, that was a Fox News, straight news reporting evening, the election. And for them to deliver that was just an absolute dagger to Trump at that moment, as evidenced by how strong their response was to Fox. So I want to point three about why that moment matters so much. Since then, Trump is done with Fox. Yeah. He is so mad at them. And so are Trump supporters. So in the days after that call, when Fox revisited the call a couple times and each over the next couple days, and each time Mishkin said, we are not wrong. We are not wrong. We are correct. We stand by it. So they never retracted their call. AP eventually made the same call a couple hours later because they use the same data that Fox does. In fact, it's Fox-generated data of voters. So they were relying upon Fox's data as well. Made the same call a couple hours later, and neither of them reversed it. And then yesterday, yesterday late in the evening, we got past, we got to a point where Joe Biden has a bigger lead in Arizona than there are votes left to count. It's over. It's been called. Arizona's in the blue column. Oh, yeah. So a couple days after that call on that night, and as Arizona votes continue to be counted, two evenings in a row, Trump supporters gathered outside the Maricopa voting office where they count the ballots and started protesting, hundreds, and chanting. Their major chant was not Biden, go home, or we can't stand voting. Their major chant was Fox News sucks.
Yeah.
Okay. And that is the third point. The moment in which Trump got knocked off the pedestal, the assault came towards Fox. And this is a, this is an internal division within the Trump conservative world that is going to have implications long term that will redound to the benefit of us as a democracy and as a, and a country.
Yeah, I mean, why? But I mean, he'll just have another network. He'll just have more. You don't think Fox's power will remain? I mean, it's not like Fox was just Trump TV.
Fox will continue to be, and as I've done, I've talked about in lectures, Fox is the elephant in the cable news environment. It is so much more watched in pure numbers, and it is so dominant among conservatives that that position will continue to be there. They will be at the top in terms of numbers and in terms of conservatives. But I do believe that Donald Trump is angry enough at Fox right now that he is going to do what he can to take them on with another Trump TV, or by throwing his support even stronger behind the crazy OANN or Newsmax, because he's got pals at those two places. And I think that in doing that, Trump will hurt the thrust of Trump, because he will divide the conservative media space. Will it expand the media space on one hand, because it will give more leverage to these other organizations? Possibly. But it will, I think, dilute the potency, because it won't be a single news channel that will drive it. Yes, drive it. Yesterday, Trump tweeted this blast at Fox about how their ratings are dying, of course, yeah, attributing to himself, that Fox's news ratings are dying. And that, you know, you saw the tweet that he said, and they used the metaphor in there. They didn't recognize that they had the golden goose, which was him.
Yeah.
And he said the major difference between 2016 and 2020 in his mind was Fox News. All of this is just the world Trump lives in. But this world that Trump lives in, tuned with anger at Fox, is something that literally I can buy popcorn and watch this all day long.
This is a little bit like Democrats in that circular firing squad that they often fall into after, even now that they have won. They're aiming at each other rather than trying to come up with a policy to move forward. Though I'm not writing it off. They can come up with a policy as time goes on. But I guess we don't usually see that from Republicans. So this is not Republicans we're talking about. This is the far right conservative. I'm not even going to say conservative. This is the far right assessment, and who's the far right worldview and the people that inhabit it.
I really feel like that moment, that night, was the inflection moment of the Trump presidency and this assault on democracy by Trump. That it was Fox's call of Arizona that stopped the moment, that Trump was not going to be able to will himself into dominance at that moment. And that it was Fox that came on the air and said, you're right, with like three apologies in there. We're sorry, but this is what it is. And that is not true. And we are not wrong. And, you know, I don't know what that's like. Is that like somebody in The Godfather from within the organization coming in and telling, the top brass that, like, look, we're not going to be able to do this. Look, the top brass doesn't just say, oh, okay, thanks for that. The top brass kills that individual. Okay, that's what they do. And so the reality of this situation is that the internal battle that's going on there started with Fox. And that is so good for the rest of us because it was turned on Fox. It is not, there's never been an ability to pivot since then to the rest of the media because Fox continues to be like the first line of critique of the Trump administration for the election outcome.
Yeah. That's a good metaphor, by the way. So maybe it's Robert Duvall's character, the consigliere, you know, the lawyer who has to come in and tell him about what happened to Don Jr. and Eric, you know, what happened to Fredo and Sonny. I'm right. Sorry, and Godfather.
Right. And is it Michael Corleone? Is that the main person?
Yeah.
Michael Corleone doesn't say, thank you so much for telling me that. Okay.
Oh no. Yeah, the Brando's character. Yeah, the Godfather. No, he doesn't say that. I think he has somebody shot.
Exactly. Right. And that's what Trump is doing metaphorically right now. He is aiming at Fox. And, you know, Fox seems to like this on the one hand to some degree. Not, there's this internal division at Fox between the news reporters and the commentators. The commentators are the ones that are the disasters for our democracy, the Sean Hannity folks, and Laura Ingraham. But, you know, it does seem like Fox is kind of reveling in this moment to some degree as the place where this dialogue is playing out.
It'll be interesting. I agree. You know, one of my favorite commentators on the New York Times is Michelle Goldberg. And she also has a podcast that she does. So she's pretty critical of Trump and his cult, to say the least. But she thinks that this is not just the inflection point for the presidency, but for Trump too, that for all his bluster, his influence will wane. What do you think?
I think that it has to, by definition, become diluted. It has to. You know, when you're not the president, you're no longer the apex of the quote unquote organization. You aren't. Who becomes the apex? Well, the Republican leadership in the Senate, Mitch McConnell, especially if they hold the Senate. And these other folks begin to try to ascend to the top, the other 2024 candidates. What I want to see in the next week, today is the 13th, is does Trump say publicly that if I lose this election, which obviously he has, that if I lose this election, I'm running in 2024. If he says that publicly, he is absolutely refusing to move off the throne. And who knows if he's really going to run? It doesn't really matter at this point. But his statement, if he says that, is an absolute shot at these other folks saying, don't you come for me. So if the Republican Party is going to try to govern and Trump is trying to run the party but isn't elected, then you've got, by definition, two different top of the mountain entities for the Republican Party. One who's trying to run them but has no power electorally, and one who has power electorally but doesn't have the platform Trump does. So that internal conflict will have implications in the runoff elections in Georgia, will have implications for how the Senate and the Republicans move forward. So to me, it is the inflection point. If Trump tries, so I'll agree with Goldberg, if Trump tries to stay at the top of the mountain, at the top of the organization, if he does what almost all politicians do, which is when you lose, you step aside, then I think it's the end of Trump, but the party moves along just fine. But what's the odds of Trump actually doing that? Very little.
Yeah, zero. Right?
So zero. So I do think that moment on election night, 8:20 p.m. Pacific time, when Fox made the call for Trump and Trump tried to will his way over the line in Arizona. They made the call for Biden for Arizona. And Trump tried to will his over the way and try to dominate them into submission. And they said, no, they said, they are wrong. The White House is wrong. We are right. And we are calling this for Biden. to me is the moment. It's the moment the world began to change. And to me, the orbit feels differently since then. So is there a long lot sets of battles to go from between now and the certification of the vote? Of course. In state after state, there's legal battles. But the crescendo is building for Trump to move along and to step aside. And Biden, well, Biden is just such a solid, above the drama person that he won't get sucked into this. And I'm so appreciative that that characteristic doesn't have to be Biden, but that characteristic is present in the Democrats right now. Somebody with great stability and just confidence and calm.
Yeah. I mean, he was the right man for the moment, but it is also interesting that he had a lot of people that understood how to run this campaign against somebody like Trump. I mean, other people have failed, right, to respond to Trump, and they engaged in the mud, and he did something even more than what Michelle Obama talked about, going high when they go low. He wasn't even part of that battle other than a momentary disdain, and of course, my favorite moment of the entire campaign. Man, you are the worst president ever.
Yeah. You know, 8:20 p.m. Pacific time, election night, Fox's call of Arizona for Biden. That's the moment like the Matrix broke. The Matrix that was Trump broke. And sure, he's powerful and he's going to exert influence and we got to deal with him. But the world is a different place today. And I commend Fox, but really more than commending Fox, I'm just glad that the Matrix broke.
Man, Charles would be proud of you. You have just got metaphor after metaphor. So basically, we took the blue pill.
We took the blue pill. Fox took the blue pill for us, okay? And we've all benefited from it. And Arnon Mishkin has taken incoming ever since. He has been brutally attacked by the White House and by others, you know, ad hominem. So thanks for that. Thanks for that data, scientific analysis. Eventually it came to bear. If you want to do work with our Georgia folks, we're starting today. Georgia,
this is it? This starts today? This
it starts today. Our phone banking starts today. We had our kickoff last night. Zoom call, 400 plus people on it. We got the video of that up on our webpage. Join us. Let's get to work.